The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. This is our Sunday cybersecurity version. And as we've been doing for 2 or 3 months now, on Sundays we devote it to strategies, to current events dealing with cybersecurity, whether it's hacks or whether it's like today's show, involve showing preventions or preventative care that we can take. It's a plethora of information regarding being prepared for computer intrusions, let's say, probably a good word. And as usual on the Sunday show, I have my cybersecurity expert, Mr. AI Nguyen. Nguyen, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Nguyen is in studio. I'm broadcasting from San Antonio today here at one of my properties. Nguyen, you know, it's a topic that's unfortunately becoming more and more common in today's world. And I know in the world that you deal in, it's been common, or probably too common, for a while now. And I appreciate you taking the time to put together some information to help with preparedness. And you know, this is an area that unfortunately you really don't know how people will react in terms of your team and your employees, your HR department, your accounting department, etc., if you're a company without going through the fire. You know, you can prepare, you can have fire drills, but it's only once the fire occurs that you're going to find out how well your staff can function. And before I forget it, I just want to say that the normal disclaimer that we offer each week certainly applies here, where, you know, when you hear these stories or you hear these strategies, don't rush off and try to undertake them on your own. Connect with somebody in your company if you already have a staff that understand how to deal with these matters, or perhaps a better option is to seek outside assistance so that you've got somebody that's new to the scene, not new to the problem and new to the solution, but it's not someone that's embedded, if you will, that's looking at the same equipment, the same personnel, the same strategies that they've deployed in the past. Get a fresh opinion. Have a fresh set of eyes scrutinize what's in play. And that's what somebody like Mr. AI Nguyen does routinely. That's his role on most projects that he's involved with. But anyway, Nguyen, I'm going to let you pick up here and kind of walk us through today's agenda and what we hope to accomplish here.
Sure. Thank you, Nathan. Today we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to talk about two things. We talk about the playbook for the good guys and a playbook for the bad guys. So I'm going to starting out with a deep dive into the world of cybersecurity, and we're going to exploring some challenges and solutions faced by today professionals. And what we're going to talk today is going to talk about a mock cyber security tabletop exercise. Have you heard that term before, Nathan?
Yes, I have. You know, it's one of many. It seemed like
it gives me anxiety every time when I talk about this, especially this topic. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, I understand. I'm glad you can walk us through it, though, because it's not just intuition. It's not just common sense. There's some specifics that you better be aware of, or at least the way I look at this, you better be aware of. And by the way, for those of you that are thinking, well, you know, I listened to your Thursday and Friday broadcast where you're talking about real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, real estate private partnerships, etc., you think, well, you know, gee, all this is somebody else's problem. Well, not necessarily. There's a lot of things even at the local single user level that you can deploy based on what a larger company might be doing, or if nothing else, you might be able to ask the right questions. You know, it certainly gives me some ammunition or some fodder, if you will, before I invest in a transaction. I know I've got half a dozen new questions that I'm going to be asking to make sure that the group that I'm putting my money with is prepared for these types of events, because this is some serious stuff in terms of what it can do to your money and your ability to react if we get hit with something major, which is happening almost every day. Almost every day, there's somebody, some company, some brokerage or some bank. You don't hear about all the intrusions, but you see them later. And, you know, just like, you know, you could go down the list of financial institutions that have been affected just in the last month or so. Correct, Wynn? I mean, I know we've talked about them. I'm assuming
it happened more often than you think that
right. Nobody wants to publicize it. Makes the bank look weak or look like they're not paying attention when these things hit.
Oh, but it makes my stomach drop. It's the worst.
Yeah. Correct. But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
It's okay. Before I start with the topic, I want to give the definition what a tabletop is. And you heard this all the time, but a lot of people don't know what it is. I want to make it in a layman's terms so people can understand, okay?
Sure.
So the tabletop exercise is like a rehearsal for emergency, basically.
Okay.
Where people sit around in a table and talk to what they would do if the crisis happened. I mean, it's always make sure that everyone knows their part and to find any problem and plan before a real emergency occurs. You know, like it's just like a fire drill, I would say. You know, what if this, you know, once in a while, we do all this once in a while, but today, why don't we do it with cybersecurity, especially in the emergency when ransomware attacks? Now, when ransomware attacks, okay, it's not just a technical problem, it's also a legal minefield. And it requires communication strategy, who to call. Everybody have a role. So that's what a tabletop is about. It's about a plan, an execute plan, what to do, who's involved, and what happened when it started. Okay? And nobody wants to be in this cybersecurity nightmare. I don't even want to talk about it. I mean, it's very depressing. Okay?
It's going to make for a long day, isn't it?
You always plan for the worst and hope it never happens. But hope is not a strategy, okay?
Well, that's for sure.
You know, just like there's a terminology I always use, you know, like trying to rebuild a plane while it's still on the air. That's a terrifying, great analogy, but it is. Yeah. It is true. What happened, a lot of people don't know what to do. Now, given that they have incident response plan, they have a disaster recovery plan. But when it hit you, what do you do? So after this call, I also have a flow chart I'm giving away that I put together. It's like a mind map. You know what to do.
Right.
And they give you a scenario, what needs to be done. Okay.
That's perfect.
So let's start with that and say, so what would you do when things happen? Okay. So let me dive into it right now.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see here. Okay. So first, you got to have a communication strategy. There are three things. The four steps, right? The first step is cybersecurity crisis response. once, like, I'm came from operations. So once I determine or we determine it's actually a situation, an incident, a real incident, a high incident, okay? So the first phase in my department, we do initial incident response. Okay, we respond. What do we need to do? And we call incident containment. So we go out there, we contain the virus, we fix it. Then the next step is communication strategy. I call in my CSO, then the CIO, then the corporate attorney, you know, for communication. What to do in case, like, now let me tell you, I cannot stress this, stress this enough. Communication plan is so important, especially for employees, the client, and the partners, and the media. So you have to know what to say, what to send out there, okay?
Yeah.
And then go,
by the way, you mentioned an acronym. I want to make sure, since anytime I don't know something, I'm assuming my listeners may not.
Yeah.
What is a CSO in this? Did you say CFO or CSO?
It's a security chief, basically.
Okay.
Chief security officer.
Chief security officer. Okay.
Yeah. Every company we call them a C-suite. C-suite, right?
Yeah,
it's the
sure,
CIO or
sure.
this guy. So you send sure. them, once we determine it's a crisis, then we send communication to them. They handle the public relation. We handle the technical piece. I know what to call. I call the help desk. I call the network. We all coordinate together, and we put out the fire. Those are the steps you have to practice. You have to sit down in a coffee shop. You talk about what needs to be done. For example, I know what to do. Like one of the company that I work for, I know how long it takes from my house to the office in case that I cannot access to the network.
Right, in case you have to physically be
exactly.
there.
Exactly, so it's going to take me 25 minutes, okay? And it's going to take 25 minutes for the other technical guy. In case if he doesn't answer, I know who to call. And another thing, you're going to love this one. Assume that the network is down, so I always tell people to download WhatsApp. In the U.S., we use WhatsApp so we can call globally. And I'm pretty sure there's another app out there. You know, plan the emergency. Yeah. And I don't rely on electronic communications. I have my incident response plan printed out step by step with all the phone numbers.
That's a very good point, because that just getting that in your hands later may spread whatever the bug or virus or whatever has been deployed against the network, right?
And not only that, you don't use email either, because any email communication you send out to the team, the hackers also know what's going on. So you have to use a secondary communication. Put together a secondary communications. So after you do that, so that's step number two. Okay, step number two is we have to look at a robust security measure. We have to analyze what happened proactively. Okay, and then step three, post-incident analysis and improvement. So then number four, you analyze the exercise. So these are the things you have to do. You have to practice every single time, once in a while, maybe quarterly, you know? Because a lot of people, you cannot take everything in face value. You have to be very careful. Think about this, okay? We call ourselves an expert, okay? And these type of things that hit the expert, a lot of experts don't know what to do when it happens. And I keep reiterate that.
No? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's when you think about it within, and I understand, you know, most of the people that are listening to this are probably smaller enterprises, you know, business-wise, but you know, you don't really know what you don't know. And even small companies need to have a plan, and it needs to be practiced from time to time. And at least you have an awareness whether or not you actually can react real time or not. That's probably just an unknown in many cases. But 'cause you've got, on a certain level, you still got to run a business. You still got appointments, you know, people coming into the office. If you're let's say you're a medical doctor, or you're a dentist, or, you know, operations such as that, you've got real-time activities going on that you can't just shut down if you can avoid it, right? I mean, you want to be available.
That's where the communication strategy kicking in.
Yeah.
Right. So while we put out the fire, the chief and the management put out the communication through HR and also the public.
Well, I can think of a good illustration of this. It didn't involve the computer. Well, at least it didn't at the doctor's office that I was visiting recently. The elevator in the building was down, three out of the four were. And, you know, I got a phone call, you know, 30 minutes before I was leaving to go to my appointment. And I thought, somebody's thinking, somebody's been through this before. Somebody had a plan. And I know that's a simple exercise, but you'd be surprised how many times you won't get that phone call. You won't have any communication and you don't find out till you show up. And that's a disaster, especially when it involves these types of issues with networks. Computer technology, that it becomes really problematic. So
let's just say it's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
We identified the problem is happening. We confirmed the scope of the breach. We know just how many accounts have been compromised and blah and so forth. While that's happening, it's important to communicate with our technical team to ensure that they isolate or affect the account. I'm just giving an example, right? Just like the bank,
yeah.
Right? So what is the next move? You have to be transparent, right? This is where your incident response plan come into play. And we need to deploy our forensic team to track how the breach occur and start mitigation any damage immediately. So while we're doing that, because time is of the essence, right? The communication, so we start drafting internal and external communication to management without causing unnecessary alarm. We need to give them all the information that they can handle from their side, right? Balancing transparency is a must within these communications. So there is a step that I can put together on the PDF that we can I'll give it to the listener that they can download it.
Okay, great.
So step by step, what needs to be done. So having your incident response plan, you have to exercise your incident response plan. It's just like a fire drill, no difference, right? What to do, because I'll give you an example. You know, it's very hard to spell my name sometimes, right? But then the first time when you spell my name, you have to remember, take you about 15 seconds, right? but once you get used to it, what happened? You just spell it out. Same thing with exercise. The more exercise, it become part of your life, it become a verb. Everything you do, so you understand what to do. You don't react.
Yeah.
You respond with caution. Okay? For example, if I read my incident response plan almost monthly, I update it monthly. I know what to do, who to call, and make sure those phone numbers correct.
Yeah, and print it out.
That's I'm glad you remind me that. You have to print that out, you know. See, I'm telling you, it gives me anxiety every time when I talk about this topic.
Yeah. I tell you, when you start thinking about how do you live without access, it's really, think about all the people that have just gone through and still going through the hurricane, multiple hurricanes. You know, we really don't fathom what life will be like, even though most of us have lived in the time or the period when there were no networks, no computers, no internet, no communication channels. That's been so long ago. I mean, most people are helpless if they don't have a cell phone tethered to their wrist.
They're
right?
So used to it, the cell phone.
I tell you what, America's enemies know that too. Don't think it can't happen. And
they know our weakness. How long did it take for the Katrina, for the FEMA to respond? 5 days.
Yeah.
We can survive 5 days.
That's right.
Right.
Katrina or Helene?
Helene is today, but I'm talking about in the past. I want to see how fast we learned from this. Have we learned from this?
Yeah, but the same thing happened this time. It's like, you know, hello. You know?
So what what would they do? What exactly? We know the hurricane is coming. We know it's coming, right?
Yeah.
So right now, I'm still, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to find out, after all this happened, I want to study what happened. What exactly did the governor take, prepare themselves when this thing happened? So I want to see, like how long did it take for them to respond and how fast it is. A lot of people without power right now. Millions.
Yeah,
right?
Still is.
Still is.
Well,
right.
It was kind of like Houston summer.
Yeah, that's 3 days so far, right? 3 days so far, right? I want to see how long. So we learned from it. But you know what? Mother Nature, sometime, every time when you think, but Mother Nature is different. The topic we talk about ransomware. Ransomware, we can, I think that there are certain measures that we can take to protect ourselves. But when it comes to Mother Nature, I don't want to say it. Because every Mother Nature always find way.
Well, that's true. Hey, Wynn, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break. We're well past our appointed time, and we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Cybersecurity Show. Thank you. Up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. Here's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Today is our Cybersecurity Sunday show, and I know some people tune in on Sundays, and historically we talk real estate, taxes, retirement plan, investing into private real estate partnerships. But as of late, we've been discussing ransomware and SIM card swapping, a lot of cyber attack strategies and how to prevent or otherwise manage, and that's what we're doing again here today. So Wynn, I know we're talking about how to prepare for and rehearse our plans, if our company is influenced or attacked. And I was just looking, I believe October is some type, at some level, cybersecurity month. I think I read something recently.
That is correct. It's cybersecurity awareness.
Yeah, and is that government sponsored, or who decides? Because it seems like every day should be cybersecurity.
I'm pretty sure somebody from the top just decide to. It's going to happen. They probably have some kind of convention in Las Vegas every year.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
You know, I was just scanning the news, and just to show you, and this is just at one level. Now, this is a higher level than perhaps what you think of, meaning you, the listener, working in a, you know, small to medium-sized company, but when did you see this oil rig? I guess that's a type of virus or attack, but it exploited a Windows kernel flaw in an espionage campaign targeting the UAE and Gulf state companies. So the oil and gas industry, and I guess oil rig is the name associated with it.
Yeah,
yeah, which means, right, I was just going to say, it means it happened at a low level within the organizational structure, probably individual rigs, I'm assuming. Somehow they cracked into that system. But these are things that the average person doesn't think about, and this moves massive amounts of money and other financial resources in and out of sight. I mean, this can be a major disruptor if it is successful, in the right spots.
That's why the next topic I'm going to talk about is a playbook for hackers. So you know the book called The Art of War? This is like 2,000 years by a Chinese general who wrote this book. Know your enemy and you know yourself. When you know your enemy and you know yourself, you will fear not the outcome of 100 battles, right? These are the two principles that made up the art of war. So if you know your enemy, you know yourself. If you know thyself, your weaknesses, your enemy will find it for you.
Yeah.
So that's why the next topic we're going to talk about is called a cyber kill change. The cyber kill change is basically a terminology developed by Lockheed Martin. Okay. It's a framework. The framework that part of the intelligence-driven defense model to identify and prevent cyber intrusion activity. So I had the luxury to go through this exercise myself and the training. So this model identifies what the adversary must do to complete the order to achieve the objective. If you know the objective, you can prevent. Now, nothing 100%, but any percentage is better than nothing, right? So here we go. Ready? So now we're going to talk about seven steps. They're called seven steps that you must do, all right? Not do, but to understand how to work. Well, they're called seven stages. The first one is reconnaissance, right? Once they're inside your network, okay? So seven stages. First one, reconnaissance stage. The second one is weaponize. The third one is delivery stage. And the fourth one, exploitation stage. The fifth, insulation stage. The sixth one is command and control. And the seventh one is action and objective. So I'm going to use a layman's term, so make it easy. Reconnaissance, like a thief casing out your neighborhood, looking for an easy how to break in, right? The hacker search for the weak spot and our target for defense. Like outdated software, unaware employees, social engineering. Like, it's funny that you talk about the pipeline in UAE. Do you know how easy it is to hack those people by using social engineering? They never go to the front door. They go to the back door. They go to your suppliers. It's so easy. Yeah. So, and the second is the weaponize. The hacker prepare their tools after they see, hey, this is the target. This is the house I'm going to go into. What kind of alarm they're going to use, right? Now I'm going to prepare the virus to exploit the weakness. And then I create a delivery package. I go in there, target the system, and send out a Trojan horse gift. You know, the a Trojan horse is not something new. 700 BC used by the Greeks.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, if you read the article that I noticed on regarding the Ulrig exploit, they talk about how they use techniques and you know, the same process that has been deployed before, and it's like, you know, somebody didn't get the memo.
That's right.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were basically, you know, trying to exfiltrate credentials through on-premise Microsoft Exchange servers. Well, how long has Exchange been around and used in this kind of environment? And it's, you know, like they didn't have that lockdown. I mean, that doesn't seem feasible, except I guess there's so many other things that
there's a lot of
IT
company,
staff are, there's you a lot know, of company, tasked with.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, yeah. a lot of company that are not up to date because they're so big, they don't have enough manpowers or, big company change very slow. And especially, yeah. you know, Active Directory, you heard that Active Directory, that is the kingdom, the key to your kingdom, right? If they can hack that and they can deploy virus into that, they got all your, you can have a firewall.
They never have to show up, right?
No.
They never have to be on site.
And I'll give you an example. You can put the best firewall, you can put the best endpoint, but the moment I access your Active Directory, I can turn those things off. So become useless, right?
They can gain system privileges. What happens?
So, what is a step that you must do if you once you understand how your enemy work, right? The last stage is command and control. Now they execute what they're going to do. Like they begin the process of encrypting all your stuff. So that's where, if you understand your enemy and you have your incident response plan with you, you know what to do. You know how to identify the attack stages, early detection. Tailor the defense.
Yeah. Well, how quick can a internal staff or external determine that there's been a breach? When?
Well, I mean, well, most companies have a managed network. I assume they have a managed network. Somebody, just like a security guard or alarm system. Hey, mm-hmm. your house has been breached. Let me make it simple. Let's use example. Your house, the alarm went off. The alarm company called, are you okay? What's the code? Right? Mm-hmm. So we see that somebody opened your back door, right? Or your front door. And the moment I say, you know what? There's somebody out there. Okay, I'm going to call the cop. So same process. You use incident response plan. The moment that your network team determine that the virus is infected, the help desk people will call, right? They say, hey, a lot of people complain they can access and it's encrypted with a funny character. You know what? First thing you need to do, see, for me, I know exactly what to do. I can call it and I can turn off the firewall. I label everything. I label all the firewall. I can unplug it.
And the firewall, I mean, you keep referring to the firewall.
Gatekeeper.
Isn't there multiple? Right. But, I mean, is it a single door or are there multiple doors?
So they call this a C2. Remember, I talked about this a few weeks ago. It's called C2 infrastructure. Bad guy, they don't just have a key to encrypt your system. There's a step that they have to call into their home, the key to encrypt it. First, they encrypt your file. Then they send out the payment system. Then a message system that to tell you to pay or I'm going to lock it. It's a system they must follow. But if you turn out the internet, they cannot access from outside, right?
I see.
So the moment you need to do is shut down all the critical machine and shut down the internet. That's the playbook.
Now, and the exploit doesn't mm-hmm. have countermeasures to keep the connection up? It keeps it from being shut down?
So,
or no?
So they rely on, remember, the first stage for the bad guys is very important, called reconnaissance. They're not going to execute the step right away. They can sit there for weeks. Okay, they know what to do. They know, they identify all the firewalls, locations. They identify all the externals or internal DMZ. They know everything. It's called reconnaissance stage. So the moment it happened, you have to unplug your network. Now, different company, different situations, depend how big you are, but that's a process. Okay, that's why we say the playbook is so important. That's why the tabletop
exercise so important. Mm-hmm. Everybody have a responsibility to know what to do. For example, right now, you have, I know one company, this guy is a chef, he's a cook. He's a cook, he's a chef, he's a waiter. He also, you know, the busboy.
Takes care of them.
They're too much.
He's also what now? What'd you say?
A busboy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, that is too much for one person to do. What happened?
There's a lack of internal controls is
exactly.
What happens.
That's why a lot of companies, they call. I'm glad you bring that up, control. That's why a lot of companies have control, that they know they have policy, right? So that's, and that's important, especially a big company. Because you have the insurance. When you have the external insurance pay for this, they want you to have some kind of an incident response. That's part of the plan. That's part of the agreement.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So you have to do that. But a lot of companies, they have that, but they don't have the exercise. I'm telling you, they do, but they tabletop exercise need to be done from the outside source, not internal. It's good for internal, but you need from the outside actor because they can ask the right question. That's another thing, too. Don't rely on your own company to rely on, like, every year you do a pen tester. Now, tabletop is not pen testing service. You know, they're two different kinds, right?
Okay. And with that, you mean penetration testing when you say pen testing?
Yeah, the pen test is penetration testing. Like, sometimes that you have to perform, see if you have a weakness in your application or your network, your firewall. That's different because you hire a person from the outside and your internal team to do that. See, what are weaknesses? That's different. But tabletop is assume you already hacked or you are incident actually happened. The two different things, right? So.
I see. Yeah. Well, listen, let's go ahead. We're kind of on time this time. Let's go ahead and take our final break and we will return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Cybersecurity Show.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of this week's Be a Planner Cybersecurity Show. And we've been talking about a number of topics basically involved with preparing and prevention of outside external hacks on your company level computer system. I have my normal cybersecurity co-host, Mr. AI Nguyen, again today. And Nguyen, I'll let you pick back up with more of this sure. topic.
Thank you, Nathan. We talk about the playbook for the bad guys and the good guys, right? But now, what can we do about it? What can we do about it? So I want to leave this for the listener, this. You don't have to have a big company to do this. There's certain things that you can do with a small, mid-sized company. The most important thing is training and awareness. Okay? And enhanced preparation, preparedness. Just
awareness.
Awareness and prepare too. Yeah. And preparate.
Sure.
A mindset is defined preparation and awareness. Mm-hmm. So what to do? Just write down the step, and I will have the step for you. You can download it, and hopefully we put on the website, right? So have the exercise once a year or at least a quarter, and print out everything, the phone number, who to call. That's the most important thing, who to call, communication technology. I call it communication technology. Who to call when it happened, and write down the step, the phone number, cell phone. And also assume that you've been hacked, assume that you have no network. Download some of the app like WhatsApp that I just mentioned. You can use that, you can call around the world. Right?
So you use your cellular data network at that point.
Well, let's just say your AT&T is out, right? AT&T or T-Mobile is out. You can go to the Starbucks. If you use a Wi-Fi, then launch your WhatsApp. And you can still communicate with your team. See, step one, if your cell phone, your network is down, your cell phone is down, what next? Just write it down. What next? Just write it down, everything you can, as much as you can. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Is because when it comes to a lot of people are not prepared. But once you prepare, it's part of your mindset that make your life a lot easier. But those are the things that I leave the end user with.
Okay.
Okay? Hopefully that will build that confidence and reduce panicking.
Yeah, well, being able to think clearly is, in some cases, 90% of the problem, and the wrong move can cost you even more if you're not aware of, these issues. And of course, the bad guy or the good guys aren't doing this every day in terms of all these steps and awareness, whereas the hacker is, 10 steps ahead of them. In terms of knowing how they're going to turn left or turn right, depending on what they find,
I'll tell you, 80% of successful in everything you do is your psychology. The other 20% are mechanic.
Yeah.
So once you prepare, it's going to help.
Yeah.
Just like when you're driving,
Sure.
So next topic, next time that we can dive in, next week I will talk about a little bit different. Maybe we revisit the hacking again, or we're talking about the... we can talk about next time? We can talk about the iPhone, AI. Finally, they deployed
it. Go ahead. We got about 8 minutes left. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about that. It seems like, I know we talked, I don't know what, two or three shows ago about the what appeared to be a lack of demand for the iPhone 16.
A lot of people returning the iPhone 16.
Yeah. Well, but that said, it seems like there's pockets of demand. I know I've been checking online for availability of a certain model and color, and it's one of their higher end options, and It's amazing how few, when you get into the 1 terabyte level of storage, how few they have, unless you order it, which I don't like doing.
I want to talk about the technical piece of it. I have some touchscreen.
Okay.
I have some touchscreen issue, and a lot of people have the same problem too.
Huh.
Yep. That's one major problem I noticed. Okay.
Yeah.
They're intimately issued and they cannot identify what that is. It's not respond fast enough. This is the 16 Pro Max.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that, and forgive me, I know they've got two large size phones. Is one, the 16 Pro Max
that's
is
the big
top
one.
Of the line,
it's the
right?
top of the line. That's the one I have problem with.
But there's also one that's the same size that's not, what, it's not a Pro maybe? Or what's
it's
the difference?
Not, it's not the Pro. The difference is the...
it's like a larger version of the 16 as opposed to
the
16
camera.
Pro?
The Pro,
okay.
The Pro Max has a very good camera, right? And
yeah.
I also have problem with the camera too.
Huh.
Yeah. I think they, hopefully they will deploy the patch for it. But the one thing that I'm really worried about, that I'm real concerned, is the overheating. My phone is so hot.
Is that right?
Oh, man, that thing is hot.
See, it's been a while since I've seen that issue identified. In fact, this may be the first time I'm hearing it on the 16, but it seems like they've had this issue with other releases in the past, and then they, like you say, they issue a patch and they manage to deal with it. It is incredible to me how much software, the role software plays in these situations, and how they can, I often wondered in the past, well, you know, how do they deal with, I mean, some of these issues have to be hardware related, no?
Well,
but when do you ever see a recall? You never see a recall on the hardware.
Now, let me tell you what I noticed, okay? The two phone that's affect the most, the other phone, like the average, like the normal kind of 16, the regular one, they don't have this kind of issue. Why? The common
denominator. Because they don't have near the internals, right?
They don't have the AI function.
Okay.
AI function on the top of the line.
Okay. So models.
Now, maybe I'm wrong, but the AI use a lot of bandwidth. It use a lot of number crunching. And maybe that's the problem. Because that's not the only problem I'm having. The other problem I have is Bluetooth connectivity. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. Maybe I have a lemon. I don't know. But then I went to the store, and the people stand right next to me, they have the same issue.
I'll be.
Right. So I think AI is, because it use your chipset. It use your hardware.
Yeah, but the AI, well, at least their Apple Intelligence product still isn't out, correct? So you're talking about running...
Siri is out. I saw. Did you see how Siri worked? Siri can understand you. It's just like a ChatGPT. It has the language, and it has, you have a multiple voice, and also too, it understand you. And I'm talking about, it's like, it actually have, now the one that I download is different. The 15 Pro, I don't have AI yet until on the 15, hopefully, in my Apple Pro Vision. But for the 16, they already have it. Like the Siri is one of them. When you go into the store, they show you how to use it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's overheat your applications.
And you mentioned having upgraded your Vision Pro, which for those that are listening, that's the Apple goggle product, which is absolutely spectacular.
And that's one thing I don't have problem with when I.
So you've already, but you've already gotten the benefits that was associated with, on the 16 Pro platform, they've already given you the software.
Not 100%, but some of the stuff they already have is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, see, Apple Vision is called Immerse. It's not like Facebook Orion, like your glasses. It's completely different. I'm telling you, they're so far advanced than most of the company. Like Facebook, not even there. And I can explain. And I collect, and I use all the goggle. I have Microsoft HoloLens, and I have, Google. Remember Google glasses come out?
Sure. They still available?
Yeah, that 15 years ago. It's
wow, been, has it been that long? That's crazy.
Say 12, like 2010. So, it's almost 14 years.
That's crazy.
But they're not even close, and they're the one who started first, right? And it's always back to the heat is the problem. Then Microsoft.
Is that right?
Microsoft think they can do better. The HoloLens, the Microsoft has the first version. And today, what I've seen, I'm telling you, the difference between the Apple Vision and other goggles, Apple Vision is designed for everybody, meaning if you use your iPhone, you can pick it up immediately. You don't have to use it right away. You don't need to have to relearn it because it's like exactly your iPhone.
The Vision.
You look at it like your iPhone.
Similar. Well, yeah, similar. But, I mean, you've got some
all the icon, I'm telling you, the same.
It yeah. Take you that oh, yeah. That's true. But, I mean, you've got some additional benefits that, you know, you don't see on an iPhone. Like, you know, the ability to put your prescribed or prescription lenses. I mean, that's a hardware issue. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, unless you've seen that, it's hard to describe how good it allows you to see.
I'll give you one example. I just downloaded a golf game, right? And when I launch it, it's called Immerse. Like, you actually see the entire golf right in front of you, 18 hole, right in front of you. You can see the ball flying when you hit it.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're there.
Yeah.
And then you say, you know, that's one screen. Then you go to another screen. It's right there. You just turn around and you look ahead. You know what? I want to be in Bora Bora. Bora Bora, you just hit the button and you're there.
Huh.
The only difference, you don't have the wind blowing up behind your back. But
and you're not sweating if it's humid there.
Exactly. You know, it's perfect. It's so powerful.
I tell you, it's, you know, it's kind of a bit off the topic, but that technology is just amazing. If you haven't seen or set through the 20 or 30 minute demo in an Apple store, you really should do that.
I recommend it.
Enlightening.
People doing that.
Yeah, it's just very enlightening. Well, when we're like right on the end of the show here, I want to mention that we will get or we'll make available the download of
the document. Yeah,
the mind. I think of it as a mind map. It's a tabletop in Wynn's language. And it might give you some enough information to talk to your IT folks and, you know, hopefully make sure that they're implemented already. Or what, if they want to implement these kind of plans and programs, by all means, connect with us. And if you want to connect with us, you can send a text message to 713-581-0195, whether it's IT related or real estate or tax related, tax planning, etc. Feel free to do that. And we will return on Thursday at 2 p.m. Central Time, and we will be talking more about real estate taxation, real estate partnership investing, etc. Wynn, thank you for joining us once again. We'll look forward to next week. And in the meantime, to all the listeners, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.